Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
So we're sitting in the studio looking out the window, and Sue says, is it midnight? No, it's just 5:06. And that's pretty much kind of what it looks like outside right now. You put those clocks back an hour, it makes a world of difference. And now you're sitting here driving home when you get off work, and it's like, it shouldn't be this dark, and it shouldn't be this cold. But then again, it is the middle of November, and here we are. The mood is changing. Things are changing all around the country, and Donald Trump is just putting everybody on their ear with all of these picks that he's doing today. But he had a big meeting at the White House with Joe Biden today. And Jeff Mordock is joining us. He is the White House correspondent for The Washington Times. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing today?
I am great, man. I appreciate you taking some time. Man, it just seems to be Donald Trump is saying, if you think you know who I'm going to pick, just hold your beer, because I got some picks that are going to put you on your ear. How did the meeting go today with he and Joe Biden?
The meeting went very well from both sides. Both camps described it as cordial, enlightening. Apparently, President-elect Trump showed up with a list of detailed questions. President Biden sat down and answered them. President Biden also walked him through what he sees as some of the priorities in the next Congress. Everybody described it as constructive. And I thought one thing that to me was most telling is, did you notice how happy Joe Biden was during that meeting?
He was
smiling, he was laughing, he was shaking Donald Trump's hand. I don't know if it's that after the way he was treated by Kamala, Obama, Pelosi, the DNC, he looks at Trump as his closest friend now or what, but he was really happy.
You know, we were just talking about in the studio before I brought you on of, I remember when he ran out for that press conference after the election in the Rose Garden, and he had his aviators on, and he was kind of running up to the microphone, just as happy as a lark. And I can just imagine that Joe Biden, in his mind, is flipping the middle finger to all those people in his party who said, you wanted to kick me to the curb because you said I couldn't win, and your girl lost worse than I did. And it just feels like he's kind of taking that victory lap of, yeah, I'm not so bad, am I?
I think that analysis is 100% correct. And, you know, an example of that is his legacy among the Democratic Party is the only person who's ever beaten Trump.
Right.
And that legacy is now secure. He has secured a legacy that will be respected in the Democratic Party for years to come. I think that makes him smile as much as the crew I mentioned earlier really tried to, you know, obscure his legacy.
What is the mood like in the White House since the election's been over? It's got to be different.
It's dour. It's dour is the best word I would use. And it just seems like like everybody's just sort of going through the motions. It's kind of like the last day at school. I mean, if you noticed, I don't know how much you watched the press briefings, but even Kareem's answers aren't as detailed as they, not that they were ever detailed, but, you know, now it seems like there's not the pretense of trying to pretend to be detailed. It's just sort of this mood of it's over. We're all focused on trying to get our jobs at our at whatever liberal think tank will hire us. And that's sort of where our attention is right now.
It feels like KJP cannot emphasize enough the peaceful transfer of power. That's all I hear her say in pretty much every answer.
Well, they're in an awkward situation because they can't walk back their previous rhetoric of calling President-elect Trump an existential threat to democracy. At the same time, that they can't also, after shaking their finger and using, you know, former President-elect Trump's behavior after the 2020 election has a reason against him. They can't emulate that behavior. So they're really sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And also, I think because President Biden is such a traditionalist and is such a has almost an outdated belief in bipartisanship, that I think he's also adamant that this is a peaceful transition of power and that they're going to bend over backwards to accommodate President-elect Trump.
I agree with your earlier analysis, and it just seems like Biden is really happy. And I agree his legacy is cemented there. But he has had the opportunity to kind of come to terms with things for a while, that come January, he's leaving no matter what. However the election turned out, he knew that he was going to be going. And it seems like he's kind of good with it. He's like, I'm ready to move on to the next part of my life. I don't know if Jill is ready for him to move on to the next part of his life, because he's going to be home all the time now, and she's going to be stuck with him. And I know in retirements for every household, that works out to be a little differently of how that's going to play. But I'm just curious of when you and your cohorts who are covering all the stuff that's going on at the White House, have you guys had the opportunity today to kind of talk about all of the picks that Trump has done?
Well, we have not had it because the picks are coming so fast. I've not had an opportunity to talk about them with my colleagues. That being said, I've been following. I mean, the big one, Matt Gaetz, I mean, nobody saw that coming.
No.
That was a shock out of nowhere.
Yeah. We thought that our Missouri attorney, Andrew Bailey, we had been told, was on the short list for that. So we thought maybe he's going to happen. And you heard a number of other names that had been bantered around, but I don't think anybody had Matt Gaetz on their bingo card. And I don't know how many people had Tulsi Gabbard in as director of national intelligence.
No, but I think a lot of people thought she would get some high intelligence position, that she was going to get something, given her background, she would get something in the intelligence area. Matt Gaetz, I mean, he's going to now be leading a department that was investigating him for sex trafficking. That is just stunning to everybody.
That's, I mean, not a conflict at all, is it?
Well, I think, I mean, at this point, it is resolved because they've already reached the decision not to prosecute him. But he is under he's still under House Ethics investigation. Now, if he resigns to go be AG, that House Ethics investigation stops. But I'll tell you, if you're Donald Trump and you have talked about thinning out the Justice Department and getting rid of the hundreds of thousands of employees at the Justice Department, and you want to scare them into updating their resume, you nominate Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General.
I think there's a lot of folks, and we talked about this earlier in the show, of trying to weed out those folks who have been the career bureaucrats, if you will, the folks who have been there for a really long time. I agree. Putting Matt Gaetz in charge really makes them want to shine up that resume and go find another job.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Job somewhere.
Absolutely. And I think we're seeing that. Can I share a quick funny story?
By all means.
About relate to this. So I live in Silver Spring, Maryland. It's right outside of D.C.
Yeah.
I take the Silver Spring Metro down to the White House every morning. Before the election, for about a year before the election, I would park in the Metro. There were plenty of spots. I'd park on the first level, walk to the Metro, get on a seat. Since Wednesday's election, I have to drive around my parking garage to find a spot.
Wow.
I don't get a seat on the Metro. And my theory is, these are all the career bureaucrats who now realize, because this has only happened since Wednesday, Donald Trump is coming. We got to start justifying our jobs.
Now they're going to start showing up for work to where before they were just mailing it in from home, huh?
Exactly. I have not had to drive around looking for a parking spot since pre-COVID.
Wow. Well, I know there's been a big push to bring people back to work. And one of the things that may get a lot of people's attention is you've got Musk and Ramaswamy, who are part of this Department of Government Efficiency. And I'm sure as they start looking into things, you're going to have some folks who are going to be very nervous, to your point, of justifying their job and how they're going to make this work.
That's exactly right, because the first thing they're going to look at is headcount.
Yeah.
And how top-heavy. I mean, these agencies are incredibly top-heavy. And also, if you look at it, those employees are the low-hanging fruit. So Musk wants to cut $2 trillion from the federal budget. The employees are the low-hanging fruit because people can get rid of them. There's not going to be the uproar. It's easy to pitch that to Americans that the government's too bureaucratic, too top-heavy. When you start getting into the programs, you're going to have a real fight with. They're going to have a real fight with Congress because Republicans have been just as obstructive when it comes to spending as Democrats. You know, this is not the Newt Gingrich Republican Party. These are Republicans who need to go back to their districts and talk about how that program is benefiting their constituents. And, you know, they don't like program. They don't like cuts to programs either. So they're going to have a real time selling the program cuts up on the Hill. So and you're going to need Congress to get through them. So the easier way to do that and get some of these cuts, it won't get you $2 trillion. Maybe my estimation is $76 billion from talking to some experts. You will by reducing headcount.
$76 billion, that's kind of a rounding error in D.C., is it not?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm thinking with Musk and Ramaswamy, these are two guys who are tech guys. So I'm curious how much they're going to try to replace people with some sort of, for lack of a better term, automation. So when you see the minimum wage rise in states, then fast food workers get replaced by kiosk and you start ordering your food at kiosk instead of ordering from a person. I'm wondering if that's the way they're going to try to bring some of these efficiencies into play.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. And it does move things more efficient. You know, automation, we all fear it, but it speeds up service. It speeds up work. They don't take sick machines. Don't take sick days. They don't take vacation days. Yeah,
you don't pay them pension funds. So you know
exactly
save you money on the long term. Hey, we're talking with Jeff Mordock. He's a White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how long have you been covering the White House?
4 years. I started when President Biden took over.
So that's the point I wanted to cover with you. I'm curious, from a White House reporter perspective, how much changes for you guys when you're covering the White House, when you go from one administration to the next, how much does that change how you do your day-to-day work? There's got to be a getting to know all the new people and how the new people like to work.
That's exactly right. It's a lot of getting to know, getting your face in front of these people, getting to talk to them, figuring out who's helpful, who isn't, figuring out where to go. It's a complete mystery. One position that may have been incredibly helpful in one administration is not going to be helpful in another administration. It's so dependent on the person in that position. So, yes, it's going to be a lot of time figuring that out. Who wants to talk to you? Who doesn't? Who wants to talk to you and actually knows what they're talking about is the other challenge, too.
Oh, I could see that, because I assume a lot of what you do is getting information not from press briefings, but from the information that you get from the sources that you develop within the White House. So when that changes, you've probably got to go back to square one and start redeveloping new relationships.
That's exactly right, especially when it's a change of administration from party to party, because nobody stays.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, if Kamala Harris won, maybe there'd be a few people who were helpful that she retains that I could keep going to. But that's not going to happen with Trump coming in.
Are you hearing any rumblings about who's going to be the new press secretary for Trump? Or do you think you're going to have some of the folks who used to do the job come back into the job?
I don't think we get anybody who used to do the job come back into the job, because if you look at the people who did the job and the relationship with Trump, now the only one who has a good relationship with Trump would be Sarah Sanders, who was governor of Arkansas. Kayleigh McEnerney, I mean, she's on Fox News, and he was very frustrated with some comments that she made and actually took a swipe at her, which a lot of people thought was unfair, on Truth Social. So I don't think she would come back. So the people I'm hearing are Elena Abba, who was his lawyer as a choice, which is certainly an out-of-the-box pick.
Right.
Caroline Leavitt, who is his main press secretary right now. She's done a very good job. Stephen Chung, who was his other main press secretary right now. Also heard former advisor Jason Miller coming into the position.
I have been a bit surprised at the when the Biden administration came in, it felt like the Biden administration was filling cabinet positions by what type of box do you check for me, right? So I wanted a person of this color, a person of this sex, a person of this nationality, a person of this sexual orientation. It felt like a lot of people weren't necessarily picked for their qualifications, but as much as they checked a box. Now, that's my take on it, not necessarily yours, but it seems like Trump has put together a pretty diverse cabinet so far, starting with the first female chief of staff.
Yes, that's correct. And so far from what we've seen, it's been not just diverse in terms of what we think about with diversity when we think of, you know, religion, gender, skin color, etc., but diverse in experience, like Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
Over at the Department of Defense. I mean, there's a guy who has, that's a pretty hard job to get on the job training. We'll see how he does. He certainly does have military experience. But now he's never had to manage a budget. Now he's going to be in charge of an $800 billion budget.
Some of these things just make me shake my head. That's a great example. The Attorney General is another one that was a great example. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, where is that going to go? And what type of learning curve are they going to have to be able to manage this? So what are you looking forward to the most with this change of administration?
The congressional, the fights up on the Hill, because we saw a lot of Republican senators today come out and say, I don't think Matt Gaetz can get confirmed. You know, what's really interesting about Matt Gaetz is we can sit here and talk about the sex trafficking investigation, which he has denied wrongdoing for, the House ethics investigation. But we're also focused on that. Nobody's pointing out he's never prosecuted a case.
Wow.
I mean, a large percentage of what the Justice Department does is prosecute. He's never worked as a federal prosecutor.
We were talking about earlier, most of us didn't even know he was an attorney.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not a name that anyone really, I think, as I keep saying, had on their bingo card. So I wasn't expecting that. But these confirmation hearings are going to be interesting. And I think it's going to come back to see who has good relationships and who doesn't. And who are going to be the people that are just going to soar through? I think most people think Marco Rubio is going to just sail right through because he has great relationships on the Hill, and he should do very well. Some of these others are going to be very interesting. So we're looking forward to you doing all this coverage. Jeff, keep us informed of everything that's going on. It's got to be a fun time to be in your job right now because there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's happening, which is going to make for some really good things to write about.
I'm very excited. Even today, like what fascinated me with President-elect Trump coming to, I saw media outlets I've never seen it. 4 years at the White House, I've never seen before. We had a crowd of well-wishers that I went out and interviewed that called themselves Trump superfans. They were out there. I've never seen, and this is not any disrespect to the current president, I've never seen Biden superfans waiting outside the White House.
I don't think there were Biden superfans inside the White House either.
I would agree with that. But it just shows that it was almost like a carnival-like atmosphere for him to come, and we didn't even see him. They brought him in the back. He left in the back. It was a very respectful meeting by all accounts, but he sat with President Biden publicly for, 2 minutes?
Right.
I think it was 11:07 and it ended at 11:09. And all of that, and we never really saw anything.
Well, it's going to be interesting to hear because I'm sure details will start coming out thanks to folks like you who will dig and find them of what was this nearly 2-hour meeting all about? I mean, Trump had that list, but I haven't heard what are the things that were on his list. And are we going to find out what are the things that were on his list that he was talking with them about? Because it sounds like it was Biden, his chief of staff, Trump and his chief of staff were the only four in that meeting. Is that true?
That is correct, yes.
So it's going to be interesting to find out the details as to what comes out about that. So, Jeff, we will be following you, and we appreciate you making some time with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That is Jeff Murdoch. He is the White House correspondent for The Washington Times. Sue, are you excited to follow this kind of stuff, or is this just for people like me who are just all into it? This is kind of my soap opera.
Somewhere in the middle. I find it interesting, but I'm not as hardcore as some.
I was excited for the election to be over because I was done with that. But here's a little word to the wise, and this may change in the next 4 years. But I can tell you, I have YouTube TV at home.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk about, oh, my God, I'm so sick of seeing the political commercials. Yep. Didn't see them. Just really wasn't there.
That's interesting.
So people weren't buying the streaming commercials as much. I saw some, but it wasn't like every other commercial
right.
was that. So, I mean, obviously on local stations, you've got a little bit more of that. But
you do.
I'm curious to see how all this stuff is going to play out. I want to see what these confirmation hearings look like. That's going to be pretty interesting, too, especially Gates. He's probably got the one that's the biggest. I think Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing is going to get dicey as well, because I don't know how many people are going to want to turn over the largest budget in the U.S. budget. I don't know how many people are going to want to give that to him.
I know. We'll have to see.
I mean, he's approaching $1 trillion that he's going to be responsible for, and he's a guy who's never run anything before. So, not that you're not a great reporter on Fox. I love you, but you wouldn't have probably been my choice. We are going to talk to Steve Ellman. He is the county executive of St. Charles County. There was a ruling that came down yesterday from the appeals court that says the marijuana tax can only be done by one local entity, not two entities of local government. So we'll talk to Steve about that and some other thing. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.